Yeah, that's a theme song for Team Mace. We gonna be alright. We gonna be alright. We gonna be alright.
Yeah, I don't know if you're gonna win, but
no, but we're gonna be alright.
Well, after the game, yeah.
We're gonna have more fun.
10-run rule.
We're gonna have more fun, I can promise you that. We got the weed and booze.
That's true.
That's our team.
I've never felt better about a bet in my life.
What is it? 35 grand?
35 grand now.
35 yeah. grand.
Nice.
Yeah. I think I may have upped it to 40. I can't remember.
Go higher.
It depends if you have a DH. If you get Mendoza, I'm flipping the other way.
We're looking. Freddie has back problems, so Freddie's out for DHing. I haven't checked with Shea yet. Momo's scouring. What if it was Jess Mendoza? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, she's like the greatest softball hitter in history.
Yeah. So, we're working on that. Don't forget, that's next Friday. And a lot of people have been asking me, how do I get there? What do I do? You know, here's the deal. It's free and open to the public. So, 7:10 All-Star Friday night. If you want to be on our VIP guest list, text the word STAR to 40705. Again, text the word STAR to 40705. We're talking about next Friday night. We'll be broadcasting all day live from 10 a.m. until 7 at night as we get ready for the Midsummer Classic. And special thanks to our partners on this event, your Southern California Hyundai dealers. It's your journey. Own it with Hyundai.
Are you a good bowler?
Pretty good.
I haven't bowled in a really long time.
I'm a good bowler. I got a bolero up the street from me. I'm pretty good bowler.
Well, okay, so you know the All-Star Game's coming.
Yeah.
And as part of the All-Star Game, they have put together a celebrity bowling tournament hosted by Steve Garvey.
Wow.
And Byron Scott, who is nice enough to join us now. Hi, B. How are you?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Byron, good, man.
Oh, we're great. Okay, we'll get to the bowling thing in a minute because I know it's going to be Dodgers versus Lakers and you guys are raising money for the homeless and we'll give the full details. But, Byron, you may have noticed that the name Kyrie Irving has been in the news lately a little bit. And you're the perfect person to ask this because you coach Jason Kidd, you coach Chris Paul, you coach Kobe. And when you were the head coach of the Cavs, you had Kyrie Irving. And a lot of people have questions of is Kyrie coachable? Will he listen? What was your experience like coaching Kyrie?
You know what? I had no issues with Kyrie whatsoever. He was a great, young player. When we got him, he was 19 years old, extremely talented. You know, we had a really good relationship on the basketball court and off. And I had no issues with him at all. I mean, he listened to me and, was very, very coachable and took criticism as well, but, it's been a long time since I coached Kyrie, so I don't know if he's that same person. I would like to think he is.
Right.
But I know my relationship with him is still really good, and the guy is just an unbelievable basketball player.
So, let me just ask you this. You saw what happened in Brooklyn. KD, yeah. Kyrie, Harden, then they melted down. KD once traded. What do you think of the modern NBA player? They're terrible general managers, in my opinion.
Yeah, they are. They are not. They haven't shown yet that they can be good GMs, that's for sure. So I always, kind of go back or revert back to what I always was saying. Just do what you do. And that'd be play the game of basketball at the best of your capability and just leave the other stuff to the people that are paid to do it. Leave being a general manager to the general managers. And, you do the very best you can as a basketball player. And if they ask you for your input, obviously as a superstar, on a particular team, yes, you want to give them your input. But if you're giving them input, give them input. Not from your heart, from your head. Don't go by what your heart is telling you because you want to play with your buddy. You got to go by what your head is telling you. So, it's totally changed back. From back in the days when I played. Where players have so much, power nowadays. Where back in our day it was pretty much you just play. And if you got traded, you went somewhere else and you tried to play, you know, to the best of your ability. You didn't have as much input or power as you did back then, but it definitely has changed. There's no doubt about that.
We're talking to Lakers legend Byron Scott, who, of course, played a long time in the purple and gold, won multiple titles, and then later came back to coach in the NBA with both the Nets and the Cavs and in New Orleans and with the Lakers. And so, Byron, again, this is another good one for you. Darvin Ham taking over now. I really like Darvin. I got to spend a year with him, but actually even before you were our coach. And he just seems like a stand-up guy who is saying all the right things. But one of the challenges for him is going to be, what do you do when your star players, and you've had a star at every – you've had a Hall of Famer at every one of your coaching stops. So you had to deal with this head-on. What do you do when your star player makes mistakes, doesn't play defense, then comes down, maybe blows a defensive assignment again? You've got to manage, because you just mentioned the stars have all the power, but at the same time, can you take them out? In your day, Pat Riley just would have taken you out and managed that with playing time. In the modern era, what is a guy like Darvin, and there's a lot of young coaches, not just him, that are dealing with this player empowerment? If your best players are making mistakes, how do you deal with it?
You got to stick to your guns and your beliefs as a coach. And you can't, you know, look at that star player and think that, you know, I can't take him out because he's a star. You know, if he's not playing defense or blowing assignments, you got to take him out and let him know why, you know, and you got to hold him accountable. I know it's easier said than done. You know, all the years that I coached, all my star players, the one thing about them, were all young. You know, they were still – you know, Chris Paul was still learning. You know, Kyrie Irving was still learning. The only one I had that was a star player that was more of a vet was Jay Kidd. You know,
right.
So it was easier for me because of all the guys I had. They were so young. It was easy for me to take them out and show them that, listen, you're not going to play this way. You got to do it the right way. You got to play defense in order for us to have a chance to win. But it also sends a message to the other guys, you know, as well, is that, you know, coach is not going to take no crap. He's going to do what he's supposed to do when it comes to the stars players. And if your star players allow you to coach and hold them accountable, you know, it's even better for the other guys, because they see that, you know, so they're going to play harder and do all the right things as well. So, like you said, it's a tough job. I love the pick with Darvin Ham. I think, again, the way he got to the NBA and how the way he stuck in the league for so many years as a player was because of his tenacity, his toughness, his grit. And I think the Laker team this year needs that. You know, they need that type of personality from a guy like Darvin. So I'm rooting for him. I think they made a wise decision, and I hope he does extremely well. But I do hope that, you know, Russ and LeBron and AD allow him to coach and allow him to be especially tough on them.
So, Byron, you know this. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I looked at the what Rob Pelinka did here to retool this team, guys like Lonnie Walker IV and Juan Toscano. How do you think Pelinka did?
I thought he did good. If I'm giving him a grade, I would give him a B. I still think we need some more shooters. You know, and we don't have the length yet that we probably need. But, you know, versatility in this league is, you know, is big, being able to play multiple positions. But I think it's, you know, with this team this year that we're looking at that's been assembled so far, you still got a lot of ifs. You know, if Russ is going to buy in, you know, if Anthony can stay healthy, you know, if this team can come back to the team they were a few years ago when they won the NBA title, when they were the number one ranked defensive team, not the 20th ranked defensive team. So, again, you know, there's a lot of question marks, you know, with these guys, but I like the moves that they've made so far. You know, instead of going after 35-year-olds, you know, guys, they're going after some mid-20s. So they're bringing some youth back into the organization too. So I think that energy is going to help the older guys. But I like what the moves that Rob's done so far.
Byron Scott is our guest. Byron, Jeannie Buss sent out a tweet this week basically saying how much she missed Kobe, how much she misses Kobe, and you were uniquely tied to Kobe. For people who don't know, Byron was still playing when Kobe was a rookie, and Kobe was Byron's rookie. You get assigned to a veteran player, and that's how you guys bonded. And then at the end of your career, or his career, Byron, you coached him down the stretch, including that unbelievable night where he went off and nobody will ever do it. So this is just an open-ended question to you because I know how close you were with him. What do you miss the most about Kobe?
Wow, it's so many things, but I think you know, for the last 2 years of being able to be his coach, I missed the 4 o'clock calls in the morning asking me what we're going to do for practice.
Wow.
And I would tell him, Cole, first of all, what the hell are you doing up at 4 a.m? You know, and he was like, Coach, I don't sleep, you know, and I was like, well, I do. Can you wait a couple of more hours, you know, before you, and it still didn't stop him. He still would do it. I missed that so much about him because he was such, you know, and you guys know this, he was such a tenacious worker. And, you know, he just wanted to get prepared with what we were going to do each and every day in practice. And it just used to amaze me at 37 years old that, you know, he was calling me to find out, you know, how much practice we were going to be doing. And I miss that. And every time I think about that, to be honest with you, John, it just brings a smile to my face. And then it you know, brings a tear to my eye.
Right. You
know,
you run the gamut of emotions. I'm the same way.
I run the gamut, absolutely. And, you know, I'm here in Vegas, and I just went to the Retired Players Association meeting, and they were showing the remodeling of the Hall of Fame, the $24 million that they just put into that. And they had, you know, obviously, you know, KB in there as well. And, again, it's just – you know, I think about him every day, and every time I see something that has him on there, it just brings a smile, but then it brings that tear. So I miss the man tremendously.
All right. Well, Byron, you're a great athlete. I've played golf and seen you hit the ball. You're obviously a great NBA player. Can you bowl? Do you have any skills when it comes to bowling?
Let me tell you something. I used to bowl a lot, and my high was 238.
Wow.
I don't bowl nowhere near as much. But I bowled with my wife last week in Napa at a golf tournament. We went bowling the night before, and I bowled 197.
That's
so
good,
I still
man.
Got it.
Oh,
a
yeah.
little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, if you can get up near there. So the reason I ask, if you're just joining us, is that Byron and Steve Garvey have teamed up. They're helping out the Baseball All-Star Game to raise money for the homeless, and you guys are having – an all-star bowl at 4 o'clock on Sunday the 17th. That's a couple of days before the all-star game. That's at Fountain Bowl in Fountain Valley near Huntington Beach. And so do you know yet which Lakers you're going to be able to bring with you on this bowling team, or are you still working it out?
I'm still working out, but let me correct you on a couple of things. First, it's going to be at the Cowboat in Lakewood.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at a different thing.
Yeah, you're probably looking at an old one that we had,
yeah.
And it's going to go from 12 to 4. And right now I got Derek Fisher, I got John Sally, I got Meta World Peace, I got A.C. Green.
Nice.
I'm talking to Norm Nixon about coming. Coop can't come because he's in Texas, and James is out of town. So I still got to work on a few more guys, but it's like you said, it's for a great cause. You know, for Steve, he's doing it to raise money for the prostate cancer. I'm doing it for our organization, and when I say our, that's our church, the Good Shepherd, which is Feed My Poor. So you can go on the Feed My Poor website to donate.
Oh, good for you!
Yeah, we're doing it for a great cause, and especially in my eyes, John, when I'm looking at what we're trying to do, and I know that, you know, the homeless situation in California alone, you know, LA is obviously is crazy, and it's probably going to get worse. You know, with this eviction, whatever it is,
yeah.
Is, you know, that just was signed. So I think it's going to even get worse before it get better. But right now we're just trying to, you know, raise as much money as possible and just make people aware that this is a problem that we are seriously having in the state of California, you know, one of the richest, you know, states in the world. But we are, you know, we got so many people homeless that are just living on the street. So Father Ed is our, you know, our pastor at the church who really is the one that founded Feed My Poor. And I talked to Father Ed about getting involved in what we were trying to do, and he was so elated that we're just trying to bring awareness and more funds to try to help us get a truck so we can give hot food as well. Because Cece and I've been with Father Ed, and we went on the road, and we've handed out sandwiches and water and things of that nature, and it humbles you so much, you know, to see
right.
that, you know, we go by our everyday lives and we're just feeling like nothing's wrong and everything is great. And then when you see people in this situation, and the way I kind of equate is that, you know, we all grow up as kids and we all say what we want to be. I know at 12, I said I wanted to play in the NBA. You probably said I want to be a broadcaster when I'm done doing whatever. And you got kids that say they want to be a tennis player or a journalist
sure.
or a movie star. I don't think any kids has ever woke up when he was 10, 11 years old and said, I want to be homeless. So it's not a choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's circumstances most of the time. And we want to just try to do our part. So, you know, we're selling tickets for people to come and watch these guys, these great athletes or great ex-athletes, you know.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Hey, so Byron, give me, since I screwed it up first time again, it's going to be in Lakewood and it's going to be at noon on that. Is it on the 17th?
It's on the 17th from noon to 4 at Lakewood at the Cow Bowl is where we're bowling at. And, again, like you said, all these guys will be there, and the fans can come and take pictures and just enjoy 3 or 4 hours of us, you know, battling out the Lakers and the Dodgers, having a good time, and then signing autographs and that and things of that nature afterwards.
So, Byron, the one thing people always say about Steve Mason is they say Steve Mason is a gifted bowler. Now, do you
really?
Yeah, oh, gifted. I mean, it's like I was a natural, man. So I'm wondering, do you think bowling, this is an eternal question, do you think bowling is a sport?
I knew that was coming because Kurt Rambis told me golf is not a sport. I think, you know what, I think bowling is a sport, just like I think golf is a sport, you know, because, again, anything that you got to put in a ton of hours and continuously work on it, and, you know, and John, you know this, you know, 10% of the people that play golf in this world break 100.
Right.
So, and I can say the same thing about bowling. How many people you think can break 200 in bowling? I mean, it is a sport as far as I'm concerned. And if Steve is that good, Steve, you should come on down and join us and let's see your skills.
There you go, Mace. At Cal Bowl, noon to 4 on the 17th in Lakewood.
Is this a formal invitation?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll see it. We'll see how it goes for you.
All right.
Well, Byron, we'll help spread the word for you. We appreciate you coming on. Best of luck assembling your team. You just need a few more guys who can bowl like you, and I think you can take these guys down.
Yeah, I told Steve. I think we might have to have a side bet to see who can. You know, whoever loses got to give more money to the charity.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, you're doing it. You're doing a good thing, man. Say hi to CeCe and thank you for doing
this,
Byron.
John, Steve, thank you guys. Appreciate you.
All right, cool, see man. You. There's Byron Scott. But, you know, one of the most interesting things he said is zero issues with Kyrie. You know, everybody has this thing that Kyrie won't listen and is uncoachable and blah, 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 blah,
blah. Let's face it, he coached him when he was younger.
Yeah, but
before he went into Kyrie mode.
Yeah, I'd rather have him with me than against me, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'm all in. I've already given you my take for this. My take for this summer is get Kyrie at all costs. My take for next summer is how do we get rid of Kyrie?
Oh, come on.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, I got a little Darvin Ham Russell Westbrook nugget. Plus all the stuff I promised before. A crazy stat about Shohei Ohtani that you have not heard. Also, according to experts, which are the streaming services that are actually having the biggest impact? Got that coming up for you, too. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, what's up? Don't forget, 1 week from today is the big softball event. It is our All-Star Weekend kickoff Friday night at the West Covina Sports Complex. And you'll be able to watch a wiffle ball bash, including some of our listeners, starting at 7. Then there's a big softball game featuring everybody from 7-10. Team Mace versus Team Cappy will be broadcasting our shows all day long from 10 in the morning until 7 at night. And if you want to be on the VIP guest list for next Friday night at the West Covina Sportsplex, text the word STAR to 40705. That's STAR to 40705. And special thanks to our partners on this event, your Southern California Hyundai dealers. It's your journey. Own it with a Hyundai. So, Ireland, I promised this little nugget.
Yeah.
According to a piece by Mark J. Spears.
Mark Spears, very good writer.
New Lakers coach Darvin Ham says he envisions Westbrook remaining a starter next season. What do you think?
I believe it. I think that they're going if this is the group, if the roster as it currently stands is the group that the Lakers go to camp with, I think what Darvin has indicated is he's going to redistribute Russ's energy. He wants him to be more defense, fast. I think he wants him to continue to pile up assists, rebounds, and steals, and not lean on him so much to shoot.
Here's a direct quote from Darvin. I love Russell Westbrook, man. Just his mentality, his approach, just to see him, a guy that magnitude, and everything he's done in the league, to get hated on. But being me, I got a wholehearted plan, a clear plan on how I'm going to use him. I showed it to him, sat down, brought stuff up with him. I think he's going to flourish. We ain't going to try to curtail his energy. We're just going to diversify it and redirect it. That sounds interesting, right?
Yeah, well, and I think that's the plan if this is the group they go to war with. Yeah. You know, if there's no trades between now and then.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's that. I wanted to the Shohei Ohtani thing you sent me is just the most incredible thing.
Yeah, I knew he was good. I didn't know he was this good.
So here's the story. Shohei Ohtani, let me make this bigger for myself because that's how my vision is these days. Shohei Ohtani is actually the best pitcher with runners in scoring position and the best hitter with runners in scoring position in all seasons, all players since World War II.
In other words, when he's at the plate and runners are in scoring position, his slugging percentage is the highest ever.
Yep.
Then, when he pitches and there are runners on base, it's the lowest ever. In other words, he allows fewer of those runners
right.
to score.
Right.
So he's the answer to the question, who would you want up
yeah.
if runners were in scoring position? And who would you want pitching if the other team had runners in scoring? It's him
so,
on both counts.
Now, this makes it even more kind of discouraging if you're an Angels fan. Since World War II, highest slugging percentage with runners in scoring position. Number one, Shohei Ohtani at .621. Number two, Mike Trout at .616.
Yeah.
The two best players since World War II hitting with runners in scoring position, and the Angels are where the Angels are. To give you some perspective on the pitching side, lowest slugging percentage allowed with runners in scoring position since World War II. Shohei Ohtani is allowing only a .201 slugging percentage. Dellin Betances is .200 and Aroldis Chapman is .300. Keep in mind, those two guys are relievers.
Right.
Shohei Ohtani.
They only worry about pitching one inning.
Exactly. So that's just how good Shohei Ohtani actually is. All right, so I came across this really interesting piece from Vulture. And they interviewed 14 different Hollywood expert types, agents and publicists and managers
okay.
and all that stuff. And they have decided the order in which the streaming services are having an impact. So one through, they include 8 streaming services.
Okay.
Guess which one they think has got the most impact so far.
Netflix.
Netflix, they have at number 3.
Okay.
Now, Netflix, by the way, Greg, you just watched Stranger Things.
I did.
Great. I know yep. tons of people watched
watching
it.
Watching Umbrella Academy now.
I don't watch a lot of Netflix at all. Do you?
Yes.
What do you watch on Netflix?
Whatever is on it. I've been watching a lot of their sports documentaries lately, and
yeah.
they're all great.
Okay.
So I'll just give you the ones that I watch the most. I watch HBO Max a lot.
That is number one. It is number one for me, too. If I could only have one streaming service, it would be HBO Max.
Yeah, and now they're putting a bunch of cool stuff on, like West Wing is on there now.
Oh, nice.
Hulu is also got a bunch of really good stuff. Is Hulu on there somewhere?
Hulu, they've got it number 5. Now, I've started to watch a bunch of Hulu stuff. Like, I watched this Emma Thompson movie. I'm watching a show called The Bear, which is really good.
Okay.
It's sort of like Shameless, but in a restaurant. Really, really good. So, right, Hulu's got some shows.
All right. Other ones I watch
You're missing number two.
I know. Okay, so I'm just trying to think of the ones I actually watch myself.
Is Apple TV on there somewhere?
It's got to be.
Apple TV is number four.
Okay.
So
I watch TV's Paramount Plus, which isn't, but I don't think a lot of other people do.
Number seven. The only thing I watch on Paramount Plus, I watch The Offer, but that's it. Did they have anything else?
Yeah, they remember how much I used to like The Good Wife? They now have a show called The Good Fight, which is all the same people.
Right.
All the same actors, actresses, writers. So I watched The Good Fight on there.
They canceled that, by the way.
They didn't cancel The Good Fight.
Didn't they? What'd they
cancel? No, it's coming back, but it just takes forever for a new season.
Got it. Got it. All right. What else?
Okay, so which other ones do I watch? I watch... Oh, where's Disney Plus?
Disney Plus is number two. And remember, Disney Plus isn't necessarily one you would spend a lot of time on.
I have watched some things on there.
Like, I finished...
isn't that where I watched the Beatles thing?
That was on Apple. That
was it?
On Apple, yeah. Okay. No, especially if you're a Marvel or a Star Wars person, Disney Plus is indispensable. Are you watching Miss Marvel?
Yes, I am.
Do you like it?
It's all right. It's pretty good. Just, it's okay.
It's not...
It's not hitting me as much as like WandaVision did. Yeah. But it's pretty good.
But so Disney Plus is number two. Here's the order because I lost place of where we are in this conversation.
I think everybody did.
Four, hey? I think you have one, two, three, four. Yeah.
Okay, number one is HBO Max, and I watch a ton of shows on HBO Max. Number two, Disney Plus. Good for the company. Number three, Netflix, which I don't know. Their stock fell apart and all that stuff. Apple TV is number four. What do you watch on Apple TV?
Well, Ted Lasso is the main thing.
Sure, but, correct. Morning show.
Yeah.
They've got other stuff. Number five is Hulu. I started to watch a bunch of shows on Hulu. Number six is Amazon Prime. The only thing I use Amazon Prime for is Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. There's not another show I watch over there.
Oh, The Boys is on there. It's really good.
Oh, The Boys, yeah.
But it's, I can't.
People like The Boys.
After the
and number, number seven is Paramount Plus, and number eight is Peacock. Peacock was new to the party. So those are the, according to experts, the streaming services that are having the biggest impact. All right, let's see. Coming up next. Oh, yeah, the Brad Pitt story. We may have done it once before, but I want to bring it up again because I believe I suffer from exactly the same thing. And Andy Katz says the reason the Big Ten went after UCLA and USC is, and I will fill in that blank coming up next, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, it's a Friday song.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Not just any Friday. It's Friday. So we're 1 week away. We're counting down to our big 7-10 wiffle ball bash and all-star softball game at the West Covina Sports Complex. Hopefully you guys are all coming out. And if you want VIP guest list access, text the word STAR to 40705. Again, text the word STAR to 40705. Meanwhile, here are your favorite Mason and Ireland personalities at Dodger Stadium working as vendors.
Churros, get your churros here. Churros.
Peanut.
Dodger dog.
You guys actually sound authentic.
Sound like vendors?
Yeah. You do, all three of you. It was very good.
We pulled it off. All right, so Andy Katz, who I don't know who he is. Tell me who Andy Katz is.
Andy Katz was the lead college basketball guy at ESPN for years and years and years. The thing that he did for about 8 years was he always got President Obama to fill out a bracket.
Oh, yeah. Andy Katz was the one that did that.
The men's and women's tournament. And then when ESPN had all the layoffs, he was one of them. And now he's gone to work for both, like, Fox and the Athletic.
And stuff like that. Yeah.
All right, so but this is interesting what he said the other day. I went to UCLA, and I'm not sure I agree with it.
So talking about the Big Ten grabbing UCLA and USC, here's what Andy Katz said about that.
There is no bigger brand, I think, in college sports than those four letters. Because of the John Wooden era of 10 straight national championships, you know, UCLA, everyone knows UCLA. And by the way, for those of us that have college age high school students that are trying to go to college, UCLA is the most applied to school in the country. That's how popular it is. Over 100,000 applications. So you are adding a brand that is incredibly popular, has a great alumni base. If there's any kind of criticism constructively, has not been a great travel alumni base if they're in L.A. To other parts of the Pac-12. But that's a minor little, you know, thing that we could maybe pick on. But for the most part, I think this is a huge win for a variety of reasons, not just historically, but in the present tense. And here in two seasons, I fully expect them to be in the thick of the upper tier of the Big Ten on a regular basis.
So UCLA and USC join the Big Ten, and the school that Andy Katz is most excited about is UCLA. Do you think he's ever been to LA?
I know he has. Here's what I find interesting about that. He says that, and like I said, I went to UCLA, and it was unbelievable, and I am a proud Bruin alum. I would not say, if you ask me, what is the biggest brand name when it comes to college sports? What would you say?
The first name that pops into my head is easy.
What was yours?
Mine was Alabama.
Mine's Notre Dame.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame has their own network.
Yeah, they have their own thing, right? They've got their own deal with NBC.
I mean, Notre Dame, people do movies about Notre Dame.
Right, but I mean, think about it. In the context of USC or UCLA joining the Big Ten, Andy should know this is really about football, and USC is really a big fish.
Well, I think that USC is the football get, and UCLA is the basketball get, and he's a basketball guy.
So if you were interviewing
Bruce Feldman, I think Bruce would, because he's a football guy.
Yeah.
Bruce would say USC is the get here. But in terms of biggest brand, and I think one of the reasons why UCLA is the most applied to school in the country is that it's affordable.
Yeah, right.
You know, like USC, most people, let's be honest, can't afford to go there.
No.
Can't afford to go to Stanford, can't afford to go to USC.
I couldn't have afforded to go to either.
UCLA is affordable because it's a UC school.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hope he's right. I hope UCLA, you know, is the draw, and that they, you know, and this would be something. If USC wins the Big Ten title in football in 2 years, and then UCLA turns around and wins it in basketball.
Yeah, that'd be great.
What a blow that would be to Ohio State and Michigan.
Oh, yeah, screw Ohio State.
You know, Ohio State thinks they're a lock to win it in football, and Michigan thinks they're a lock to win it in basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if these two teams come in from the West Coast and upset the apple cart, that would be a really big deal.
Absolutely. All right, let's do this. So Brad Pitt, who is among America's most beloved actors, says that he suffers from something called face blindness, otherwise known as prosopagnosia. I think I actually said that right.
It sounded like you knew how to say it.
Prosopagnosia. He says that nobody believes him. He says when he wants to meet another person, he experiences this condition where he can't recognize people who he's met before. Now, I've always said that I also suffer from face blindness. A lot of times you'll play that game where you bring people into the studio and say, tell me their name. I have facial blindness. There's no way for me to know who everybody is.
Yeah, you're just stoned and can't remember their names.
Do you believe in facial blindness?
I absolutely do not.
Are you a prosopagnosia guy?
I am not. I think that you either remember people or you don't. I think you and Brad Pitt don't.
I'm a big prosopagnosia guy.
Yeah.
That's what they always
say. Yeah, you just don't remember anyone's name because you consider them beneath you.
I just think you're looking at your laptop and you're not paying attention to the person in front of you, so you don't actually see their face.
Yeah. Do we have to do the thing we've done every year for the entire time we've been here?
Do it.
And bring five people in from
the
back?
Name the four interns.
Oh.
What, the four interns right now?
Name our four interns.
Quinn.
Yes.
Amara.
Yeah.
Brady.
Yep.
I don't know the fourth.
Parker.
Parker.
Yeah.
I think I see Parker the most.
Parker hangs around a lot, too. Parker, those guys are doing a good job.
Okay.
But no, I'm pretty good. Now, there are a bunch of new people here.
Right.
That's what I was going to say. I should go back there and grab people.
No,
there's no chance.
Because Mason always says he's going to do well, and he never does well.
I've never met a lot of the people over there.
There's a lot of new people. There's a ton
of new salespeople and stuff. I know our old guys.
So you're blaming
the new guys.
So that's not facial blindness. That's just you haven't met them.
Right, correct. I haven't met them.
But, I mean, we used to bring in people that you'd met several times and you couldn't remember their names.
That's true. Who's our sales manager? Justin, right?
Yeah, Justin Schafflander.
Justin's our sales manager. Yeah, he's a good guy.
No, we got an email today. They hired a new digital sales manager who starts Monday.
Oh, it's crazy.
Have not met that one.
We're loading up here. Loading up. So I do suffer. So, by the way, so when you come up to me at a remote and say, remember that time?
He doesn't remember.
I don't remember. Or you say, I'm the guy who... I don't remember. You can say those things to me. And by the way, in the moment, I'll say, oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Hey.
Great to see you, man.
Oh, yeah. Fountain Valley. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fountain Valley. Ted. Don't remember. I barely remember.
Have you met a Ted in Fountain Valley?
Must have.
It's a possibility.
There must be someone named Ted in Fountain Valley. Yeah,
so no,
I have
not really.
I have prosopagnosia, so just keep that in mind when you come out on Friday night.
Hey, Ted in Fountain Valley, call in 877.
Yeah, Ted, if you're out there, I got to catch up with Ted in Fountain Valley 877.
Tell me if
ESPN.
Tell me you think I'm being shallow. First date I ever went on in high school.
Yeah,
was a bowling date in Fountain Valley. Okay,
oh, what's wrong with that?
No, well, here's you haven't heard the whole story.
Oh, okay.
The girl I went with,
yeah,
bowled a 43.
Oh, that's
and
rough.
I said deal breaker. Never
no,
went out
no,
with her
no.
again.
Is it because she bowled a 43?
Yeah, too big of it. Yep. You got to have basic skills.
Yeah, but here's the thing: if she was rich and bowled a 43, you'd be all over. You'd be married to her today.
Oh, of course. but just
so that's not really a deal breaker.
Well, you
bowl a 43 and you're rich. You bowl a 43 and you're hot. You bowl a 43 and you're a train wreck. You're on that.
Yeah. Trust fund?
Yeah.
She could bowl a 23.
Correct.
Yeah.
So then you technically have no deal breakers.
You have no deal breakers. They talked about that earlier in the show.
I have more than Mason does.
Well, no,
if they're rich, you're done.
I had two deal breakers before I met Juan. One was not going to be with a smoker. The second
That's one of mine.
Was not going to be with an actor, nobody with a headshot. And I married.
You basically have a common law marriage.
A person who is a smoker with a headshot. I just threw that away.
Hey, it just
forget
broke.
Forget the word married.
Yeah, it just broke that Elon Musk is not buying Twitter. Is that something or nothing?
I mean, that guy is so kooky. I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something. He didn't buy. I never thought he was going to buy it. I thought it was just like, look at me. I'm Elon Musk. I can buy anything I want.
Hmm.
Don't you?
I thought he was going to buy it.
I
believe in the basic tenet that you should try really hard not to kick people off Twitter. And that was the impetus for him buying it.
He felt
too many people had been kicked off. But then I went to that play, The Power of Sale, with Bryan Cranston, and I realized that...
There are limits.
Not only are there limits, but you just never know how people are going to react to absolute free speech.
Yep.
You can't... The story of that play was you can't control everything once it gets out of the bottle.
Yes.
So I had mixed emotions about him buying it, but yeah. Now it looks like he's not gonna.
Yeah, not gonna.
By the way, here's a tweet from Christopher Holmes. It says, Venice Mace also suffers from gestapenosis, or forgetting who you've had on the show.
That's true.
Gestapenosis is yeah. also something I
yeah,
suffer
the best
from.
Thing was when he said, we've never had Magic Johnson. Then we played a clip of Mason interviewing Magic Johnson, and he says, I still don't believe it. Then we say, I said, well, Kim Kardashian's been on a couple times. Kim Kardashian has never been on this show. Then we play a clip of Mason interviewing Kim Kardashian. He says, you guys doctored that up.
Why would I not remember those things?
I don't know. They've been both been on multiple times.
I guess it's gestapenasia.
Yeah.
I don't. Thank you very much, Christopher Holmes, gestapenasia.
There you go. It's yeah. one of your many ailments.
One of my many.
Is Bobcat any good today, Bergman?
I don't know.
It's Friday.
It's Friday. It should be good.
Yeah, but it's all the stuff that I didn't get to during the week.
The dump.
But sometimes that's the best stuff.
Yeah, that can be good we'll stuff. We'll
see. You can't call it the dump. That's copyright infringement.
Yeah, it's copyright. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thank you very much, Chris and Amanda. All right, so last night was a little bit of frustrating for me. Mm. There was a single fly in my apartment. One single fly.
So annoying.
I was on my couch with a fly swatter tracking this thing, opened doors and windows to try and get it out. I couldn't get it. It was very annoying. Had to eventually give up and go into my bedroom and hope it just kind of died at some point. So John Ireland's favorite way of putting it, is there anything more annoying than a fly buzzing around your home?
Mm. Oh, there's many things more annoying than that.
It's annoying, though. I'll tell you who hates it. My dog, annoying. Sophie and Fredo, just hate flies. If there's a fly in the house, they are so annoyed. So I try to avoid them.
Bergman?
Yeah.
Shell No Pest Strip. You know what that is?
No, I don't know what that
so
is.
So if you grew up in the 70s, you could go to Shell. The gas station. Do those even exist anymore? Shell stations?
I haven't seen one.
Yeah. Shell stations
do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you buy these things and you hang them. And they have an odor that attracts the flies. And then they fly into it and stick to the strip. And then you get rid of all the flies at once. You just take it and throw it in the trash. And your fly problems are over. Thank me later.
Thank you very much. But now I only have one fly.
What's it called again?
Shell No Pest Strip.
All right.
You've never seen that sticky sort of
I mean, I have.
Thing.
I didn't know it was called a Shell No Pest Strip.
I'm sure right. it no longer
Shell
is called that. I don't even think Shell even has. I don't even think Shell's
somebody
a gas
on Twitter
station.
Is gonna send it to
Shell
Disney.
May not be in the pest
yeah.
control.
I don't
business
even think
anymore,
Shell but, has. I mean, isn't it basically Chevron and Mobil
yeah.
and that's it now?
AMPM. But if you go to Ace Hardware, they've probably got a Shell. Pest strip.
Yeah, sticky. So go on Amazon. Yeah. Or as Mason calls it, Amazon.
Won't that attract more into my home?
No.
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 The flies aren't attracted to
it. Well, you just said
like
they're attracted to it.
No, no.
No, the flies in your house will go to it because it's got, I don't know, honey.
Or you could do the blue light thing, but then you have to, every time a bug gets killed, you wake up.
Yeah.
That's no good.
By the way, I'm going to go see my mom tonight, so I'm going to have a record.
Bobcat.
Excellent.
Oh, Jan.
Hi, Jan.
Hi, Jan.
It's her birthday. It was for her birthday.
Nice.
All right. So Metallica's 36-year-old song Master of Puppets went up to number one this week after it had a big moment in the Stranger Things finale. Stranger Things also got another 80s song by Kate Bush to number
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
So interesting to me how much shows and movies have so much power of public persuasion. So are you two ever influenced to listen to music based on a TV show
oh,
or
all
a
the
movie?
Time.
Sure.
Matter of fact, okay, Bohemian Rhapsody has made it to number one on the charts three separate times, okay? Do you know what the three were? Well, I'll give you the first one, when it came out.
When it came out okay. in the 70s, and then obviously when the movie came out.
Nope.
No?
No. Second time was when Freddie Mercury died.
Oh, shit.
Okay, ran to one. And the third one was a movie came out, but it wasn't Bohemian Rhapsody.
Wayne's World.
Wayne's World.
Wayne's
very good,
World,
Bergman.
Right.
Remember when they were singing
yeah.
in the car? It brought it back to number one. So the phenomena that you're describing, that Stranger Things yep. brought it up. They played it. I discover songs like that all the time. Like a show will be like you love Leonard Cohen's
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jeff Buckley has a version of that
yes,
song, right?
Yes, his version is great.
I didn't know about that until they played it on the West Wing once, yep. and then I went back and bought it.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. So, well, I always think of, like, movie soundtracks and, you know, like, from my... The Footloose soundtrack was the craziest soundtrack of all
time. Had seven number
one
hits.
I mean, stuff like... And weird stuff, like Dancing in the Sheets by Shalimar. And
yeah.
Let's Hear It for the Boy and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so, yeah, movies... And occasionally you'll hear that end credits song.
Do you remember...
You go, huh, what song is
do
that?
Do you remember who recorded the title track to Footloose?
Wasn't it Kenny Loggins?
Yep. And when they redid Footloose with Julia Huff 4 years ago, did you see who they got to do it?
Kenny Loggins again?
Nope. Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton.
Did it. And they're both good.
My mom would leave Not Stepdad Leo for Blake Shelton.
Somebody just sent me a picture of a Shell station.
There you go. So
on
there
the corner
one.
Of Vineland and Van Owen. Thank you, Sam.
Oh, that's right by me.
There you go.
Bobcat.
Jorge, what you got?
Okay, so according to a tweet by Malika Andrews, for the first time, rings will be handed out for the Summer League champions.
The Sacramento Kings are going to, like, go get them made in advance.
Oh, man. So she's posted a picture of what the ring looks like. I sent you guys a text so you guys can take a look at it. If you're a player, would you want one of these rings if you were the champion of the Summer League? Would you want one?
Do you want me to be honest?
Yeah, of course not, right? I wouldn't.
Hell yes.
Really?
Yeah.
You're gonna wear
You would never wear that ring.
I wouldn't wear it, but I would put it somewhere.
Oh, no.
Sure. You really wouldn't? I would put it somewhere. Hey, look, here's the thing. The Summer League is actually fun, and it does teach one thing. It teaches you winning. It's about winning.
We should get rings, whoever wins the softball tournament.
No, you want to wait. You want to wait till something a little more competitive.
No. Stop discounting us. Stop discounting Team Mace. I'm telling you, we are there. But yeah, I mean, I love having stuff like that.
Your number two hitter, who also happens to be your starting pitcher, had a C-section 2 weeks ago. How are you ready and prepared? Your team sucks.
Maybe it's because she's being replaced by Jess Mendoza.
No, Jess Mendoza lives in Oregon.
I know, but she's checking with her. She also spends time down here because she does a lot of Dodger stuff. All right, Bergman, what's next?
Bobcat.
Hit the button. All right, so we can do it. Writer Strong played Sean Hunter on a very important show for me growing up. It was called Boy Meets World.
Yep.
Probably saw every single episode, including into the college years.
Okay.
But he recently, Writer Strong, that is, he recently said that he ran away from the role and didn't want to be associated with it while on it, and now regrets not living in that moment while it was happening because it was so big at the time. So what's a moment in your younger years that you regret not appreciating in that moment?
Let's see, I'm pretty good at realizing what's happening while it's happening. I take a lot of pride in that. Like, you know, Phil Jackson used to say, the whole science behind Zen is live in the moment.
Yeah, the present is a gift.
Yeah, don't be thinking about what happens next time. So I've always tried to do that. I don't know if I could have stretched my 4 years at UCLA out. I kind of had in the back of my mind, I didn't want my parents to have to pay for more than 4 years of college because my parents put me through college. But all my friends went five. One of my friends went six. Shout out to Vic Karadakis.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have been in such a hurry to get out of college.
Sure.
That's the one that I would, that's what popped into my head when you asked that question.
For me, I would say I never fully appreciated at the time when I signed my contract to work in New York City and all the stuff that went with it and the biggest contract I ever signed, all that stuff, I never really took it in. In fact, the whole time I was in New York, I'd fly home two weekends a month.
Right.
So I never
made 1 foot here and one foot there.
And I never fully appreciated being there. So I would say that would be my answer.
Bobcat.
All right, so kick it off the planet. So we're going to go new versus old here. And now when I give you these two, you cannot rebuild them.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, whatever that means.
So Dodger Stadium or SoFi Stadium. So that means that the Dodgers would have to play somewhere else in the city or the Rams would have to play somewhere else in the city. So which one are you getting rid of, Dodger Stadium or SoFi Stadium?
This one's easy. Dodger Stadium's great. It's historical. There's a lot of history up there. SoFi Stadium is so much nicer than Dodger Stadium.
Yep.
I get rid of Dodger Stadium, and by the way,
the history.
Yeah, don't care. There was history at the Coliseum where the Rams played. SoFi is a friggin' palace.
There's no question about it. I mean, and the Coliseum, by the way, is a dump. I don't care what they do to it. That place is a dump. You kick Dodger Stadium off the planet.
And by the way, you can't get home after a game at Dodger Stadium.
It's true. Now, I love Dodger Stadium. They've done a great job.
SoFi's a little better, Greg. You're right. SoFi has an issue there, but it's a little better getting out of there.
And Dodger Stadium, they've broadened the concourses and did that whole center field stuff and all that. They did a great job, but SoFi Stadium is the greatest stadium I've ever been in my life.
Most expensive stadium in the United States ever built.
Yeah, ever built.
You're both wrong.
It's where the Olympics are going to be. It's where the World Cup is going to be.
Wait a minute. You just got done building SoFi Stadium. And now you're going to blow it up?
Yep. I'm kicking it off the planet. Oh, yeah. I am absolutely keeping Dodger Stadium has history. It has moments. There's lots of things that have happened at SoFi.
Like getting stuck for 2 hours after a game. I mean, you just don't know how to work in the morning.
That's a problem.
Well, that can be a you problem. You guys get out of there pretty good.
So fast.
I get out of there. Now, I buy a parking pass, so I get a little better spot. But you guys park general, you're fine.
We get out of there fast.
Yeah. They bolt at the end of a game. We need a game coming up.
But we stay till the very end, last pitch, and then we leave, and then we get out in 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not. It's doable. It's doable. Yeah. I think in the
Jorge?
End, SoFi is SoFi.
SoFi, for sure.
Yeah,
SoFi.
Yeah. You guys are all wrong.
Bobcat.
You're kicking out SoFi. Yeah, there you go, Jorge.
You're kicking out SoFi?
Yeah.
Jorge, what's wrong with you?
They just spent $5 billion to get the place built, and they won a Super Bowl.
That's where your gutty little Niners beat us at the end of the year.
Right time.
We kicked your ass when it mattered. All right, there you have it. There's your Bobcat for today. Coming on, there's a bunch of stuff we haven't gotten to. It's Friday. We always try to do stuff that we have had sitting around for a while. And so let's do this. John, 433 people in Belgium broke a Guinness World Record. Do you want to know what it is?
In Belgium. Does it have to do with drinking beer?
It does not.
Does it have to do with wooden shoes?
It does not. No, okay. It does not.
All right, then I don't know what it is.
Those are in Holland, I think. but I will tell you what that world record is. Plus
waffles?
It's not waffles either.
Good guess, though.
Not waffles either. Plus, I just want to bounce this off you. The ESPYs are coming up. When is that? Next week?
No, it's always the same week as the All-Star game.
So I want to ask you, who is the best team of 2021-22?
Okay.
We'll do that coming up next, too. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.